All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you. I just came up with a new nickname for you. The professor.
For me?
Yes. Because you've got all the facts. And what do you do every day? You teach.
I teach. Yeah. I hope I do that.
And you were literally a professor, so.
Yeah.
Professor Casper.
Yeah,
yes.
I think I want people to call me a lecturer. Because professor seems too fancy for what I do. Yeah.
But lecturer sounds like you're lecturing people.
I know, but I would almost rather take lecturer than to like sound overly boastful.
No. Going with professor,
okay,
sorry.
Anyway.
Okay, you've been overruled. Speaking of which, let's give you the results of the poll from yesterday about colleges.
Oh, okay.
So, should public colleges pay for conservative speakers? Now, our audience is largely progressive.
Yes.
But 72% of them said yes.
Yeah.
Public colleges should pay for conservative speakers.
Absolutely agree with them.
Only 28% said no, they shouldn't. Even though a largely progressive audience would be insulted with their own money, 72% saying yes, do it anyway for freedom of speech.
Yeah.
So that's great. I think that's great. I voted yes. Now the other poll was, did Scaramucci get fired because he was too brash or because Trump thought he was getting too much attention? I thought at the end of the day it's probably because he was too brash. Wrong. You guys said 34% said it was too brash and 66% because he was getting too much attention, according to you guys. So you often disagree with me on the polls. That's why we take them, because I find it interesting. I didn't know which way you were going to come out on both of those polls. Okay, last thing for before we get started on the news that Anna has for you. Derek Martin tweets in at hashtag TYT Live. Question, how many Donald Trumps does it take to conjure a bullshit excuse to deflect the Russia connection? Answer, two idiots with the same IQ. Donald Trump Sr. and Donald Trump Jr. And then finally, Tensai Badger says, bipartisan tax reform means Dems are about to screw over their base yet again and then be outraged that we call them on it. Look, if they really support a Republican plan to cut taxes, we are going to go to absolute war with the corporate establishment Democrats. And there'll be no appeasement, there'll be no half measures. And I know they'll cry and cry and cry. That's okay. Not on our goddamn watch. No way that any Democrat should vote for tax cuts for the rich and corporations and not get their ass handed to them and be removed from office through a primary immediately. All right, so you have a good sense of how I feel about that.
Right.
All right, Anna, take it away.
All right, we have an unfortunate update on the situation in Venezuela, so let's get to that. Two opposition leaders in Venezuela had their homes raided, and those individuals were arrested by the intelligence agency in the country. Family members posted videos of these opposition leaders. Their names are Leopoldo Lopez and Antonio Ledezma, being detained and claimed that Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro should be held responsible for whatever happened to them. Now, the family members are not certain where they were taken or what their fate will be, but they are concerned about their family members' safety. These are two individuals who have been extremely vocal in their opposition to Maduro, and these raids did take place in the middle of the night. In fact, at 12:27 a.m., according to the wife of one of the opposition leaders, the time when the dictatorship kidnaps Leopoldo at my house. She also said, they just took Leopoldo from the house. We don't know where he is or where he's being taken. And we have a video of the situation. Family members did film it. It's really difficult to watch, especially when you consider the context of this story, but we want to show it to you, so let's take a quick look at that.
That was the sound of the jury coming in on Maduro. So yeah. Now we know what Maduro is all about. Yesterday we had a long discussion about how, look, in the past there's been a lot of propaganda done against Latin American countries, especially if they were supporting the poor and the middle class in those countries and not working on behalf of usually multinational corporations based in the US. But we presented some significant evidence as to why Maduro was being dictatorial, and it was not just the victim of propaganda. And when he immediately arrests his political opponents after a so-called election, he's making it completely obvious what he's up to. It's not that you can't ever arrest someone that is in politics. Sometimes crimes are committed and there are issues. Governor McDonnell in Virginia was arrested. The Supreme Court then let him go under preposterous circumstances here in the US. But you know, I would have pushed for investigations of the torture and the illegal wiretapping that the Bush administration did. But there is a process that you go through.
Exactly.
And you don't just kidnap people in the middle of the night and not tell people where they are. And you take your time, you build a case, you do an investigation. If it's real, you go through an important and unbiased process. That certainly does not appear to be what happened here.
That's exactly right. And so look, yesterday when we covered what was going on in Venezuela, we talked about that, you know, incredibly fraudulent election that took place. Essentially, Nicolas Maduro wanted to do away with the remaining legislative body that checks, you know, his power, and he wanted to replace it with a new assembly, which would have the power to rewrite the 1999 constitution. So on Sunday, the government did hold that controversial vote, and it resulted in the creation of this new legislative body that Maduro has called for to redraft the constitution. They're pro Maduro individuals who will essentially do his bidding. And so any and all form of democracy in the country has now been wiped away. And the Trump administration has responded to that in the form of sanctions. And so, look, I think sanctions in some cases work. In this case, you know, it's a mixed bag. While there will be consequences that Maduro will face as a result of these sanctions, the reality is the people who will suffer the most are, you know, the innocent people of Venezuela who are already going hungry.
So our reaction to this is a difficult one to solve.
Yeah.
And there's no easy answers there, but we should have some response because this is clearly not right. And it's an affront, and perhaps even the abolition of democracy and destruction of democracy in Venezuela. So look, if you're judging Maduro on these actions, you should, and we just did. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's going to be people who are, you know, look at Venezuela in this case as like as if we're high and mighty and have a sanctimonious opinion of them. But the reality is, here in the US, we had a presidential campaign that was chanting about their political opponents, lock her up, lock her up.
Right.
And when Trump did not lock up Hillary Clinton in a similar fashion after the election, and to his credit, he did not, a lot of his supporters, including Ann Coulter, were outraged and said he had betrayed the campaign promise. Presumably, they would have loved this, the guys that were chanting lock him up, lock her up. And so we got to be careful not to throw too many stones when, you know, when our house is partially made of glass. Don't get me wrong, we should condemn it. We should also fix our own mess and not fall into these kind of situations. And finally, of course, there's the right wingers who are like, oh, see, this is what socialism is. No, there's socialist democracies all over Europe. They work perfectly well. In fact, most of them rank at the very top of the happiness scale,
right,
in terms of how well their economy is doing, standard of living, all those things. This is not socialism. Ironically, it's fascism. When you say, okay, no, I'm grabbing all the power, I now control the entire legislative body, and I arrest my political opponents. That is not connected to socialist ideology at all. That's just dictatorial.
Yeah, there were a lot of mistakes made in the way that they structured their economy, and you know, overspending was certainly one of the components. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like, oh no, that like the social programs were. But wanting to take care of the poor is a good thing. You should want to take care of the poor. But I think that, you know, unfortunately, they didn't foresee the future, especially when it came to oil prices and how they fluctuate. They relied way too much on oil, and they relied way too much on importing things rather than manufacturing things in their own country. There were so many different factors that played a role into why Venezuela is the way it is now. But I just want to be clear. I mean, there's no criticism toward the people of Venezuela. This is all about, you know, a government that was irresponsible and then proceeded to compound their problems.
Yeah, in fact, 70% of Venezuelans are against the government. So it's certainly not on them for what their government is doing to them. Finally, I just want to, Anna makes a good point. There are three components to what went wrong in Venezuela. One is actually how they applied socialism in this case, where they did price controls. Mm-hmm. Now, Richard Nixon did price controls here in America, and he was a Republican. It was a bad idea when he did it. It's a bad idea when Maduro did it. And there are varying degrees of socialism, and they do not do price controls in other socialist countries, so it is not by definition. But that does lean socialist. I understand that and want to acknowledge that, and I disagree with that. That is not certainly my vision or the European vision for socialism. So criticism of that is fair, though. Then there is the incompetent mismanagement. Well, we're talking about incompetent mismanagement. Look at our White House, right? So Maduro and Chavez, to some degree, definitely bungled how they handled oil and the economy.
Yes.
And then the third component is the dictatorial part, which has nothing to do with the system of government, because right-wing governments sometimes turn dictatorial and left-wing governments turn dictatorial. In fact, this is a playbook right out of Putin and Erdogan. And they were both right wingers. Mm-hmm. So that part has, again, nothing to do with their economic system.
Yep. All right, switching gears to something completely different. The Breakfast Club, a radio show in New York, is known for being provocative and edgy. And recently, the show got a lot of criticism after they invited Little Duval onto their program. He is a comedian. And they had a conversation about Donald Trump's transgender ban in the military. And unfortunately, that topic snowballed into something that was irresponsible and offensive, to say the least. Now, Lil Duval was asked what he thought about Trump's transgender ban, and he didn't really seem to care about it much. So let's go to graphic 11, and I'm gonna lay out how this conversation went. So, the comedian, aka Roland Powell, sat down with The Breakfast Club, a New York-based variety talk show known for its edgy, sometimes profane interviews with celebrities, hip-hop artists, and the occasional politician. He said, "I'm just doing my thing. Shout out to all the trannies out there." Now, look, it was a lengthy conversation, so I'm picking the most relevant parts, but you should listen to the whole thing. We'll include a link in the description box below. He continues to say, actually, one of the hosts asked him what he would do if he started dating and having sex with a woman and found out later in the relationship that she was a transgender woman. He replied with, "This might sound messed up, but I don't care, she dying. I can't deal with that. No, you manipulated me to believe in this thing. My mind, I'm gay now." So, you know, he's responding to being lied to by a transgender individual, and just essentially says that he would want to kill that person. He continues to say, "I can't live with that, bro. This would never happen if this never happened, so you don't have to worry about me killing nobody." So essentially he's saying, well, I mean, it's unlikely that this will ever happen, so don't worry, I'm not going to kill anyone. But he did get some pushback from the hosts of the show. They said, no, you can't kill her. I mean, that's a hate crime. But I do want to note that everyone was laughing and you know, kind of making light of these comments.
Yeah. Okay. So I get that this is a comment that used to happen all the time. When I was growing up, nobody would have even blinked at this comment. But that's exactly why transgender individuals were attacked routinely and murdered. So it's not funny.
So last year, 22 transgender individuals were murdered. This year, according to the Human Rights Campaign, there have been at least 15 transgender individuals who have been murdered. And so, you know, the death is one thing, but there's also extreme abuse and violence toward them. And so I feel like we have to be careful with this kind of conversation and this kind of rhetoric, because this is a community that has been targeted, that has been abused with violence, that has been, you know, targeted for murder, and saying she's dying is it's just not the right way to respond to the questions that they asked him.
So, okay, look, again, in the old days, it would have been considered totally normal to freak out if you accidentally hooked up with someone who was transgender and you found out later. It would not have been normal to murder them, but these kind of comments would have seemed commonplace. And I know that some percentage of the population still believes that. That's why he said it. Mm-hmm. And people laugh, and other people probably now going, oh, it's just a joke. What's the big deal? Mm-hmm. But that's exactly the mindset that did actually lead to them getting murdered. It used to happen in bigger numbers, but it's not like it's in the past. Anna just read you numbers from this year.
Yeah.
And last year. It still happens today. So that's why, look, I think if he made a really stupid joke, and then today was like, Jesus, that, you know what? That was, I didn't mean that, man. That was really stupid. Mm-hmm. Then you say one thing, but did he retract it?
So he didn't retract it. In fact, he did double down on what he said during an interview with TMZ. I want to show you his what he feels is his justifications. Let's take a look.
I'm trying to figure out, do y'all see why did I say what I said? Like, what made me say that? I said that because they were saying taking away someone's power of choice, and that's what you did. When you take away somebody's power of choice, it should be criminal. And you don't know what it'll do to somebody psychologically. I don't got no problem with transgender. I ain't got no problem with gay people. I got a problem with somebody trying to take something from me. I'm in my own mind. I say what I feel. I say what's on my mind and how they take it, because if they taking what else going on, that's on them, because this is only about one situation, which the situation was what would I do if I found out somebody was a man that I thought was a woman that didn't tell me she was a woman? That's all that is. Now, all that other stuff they put on there, that's on their own. That's on themselves.
I'm trying to help you see that no one in this society is going to tolerate you saying that you would retaliate with murder.
That's psychological damage. I went crazy right then, I guess, because that's what that made me do.
Okay, so
can I just want to jump in really quickly, because look, I think that for some people who read about this story and all the details, you probably think, well, yeah, I mean, isn't it terrible if someone lies to you? I mean, I wouldn't want to be lied to, right? You're probably thinking that, but understand why. You know, members of the transgender community would maybe withhold that information until they felt comfortable disclosing it. It's because they're met with violence. It's because once they open up about what their true identity is, they are met with brutal violence, sometimes murder. And so they feel unsafe, and it's not like they're doing it to mislead you or be shady or to psychologically mess you up. I think we have to have a conversation about creating an environment where people feel safe coming out and disclosing who they are.
And let's be absolutely clear, this is not an epidemic of transgender exactly. people lying to people to hook up with them. In fact, I interviewed a transgender woman in Miami about 20 years ago. And the thing that they all said was, no, before we hook up with anybody, we make very clear who we are, because they know exactly what the dangers are. And they know that there's guys like this out there,
yeah.
and a lot of them are not joking. That's why those transgender women wind up dying at the hands of ignorant people like this.
Right.
So look, him calling them trannies is considered offensive, and I know a lot of right wingers will say, oh, no big deal, okay, and he's joking, whatever. Okay, that's one category. And by the way, in these issues, sometimes we're new in grappling with them, and we make mistakes too. So we got criticized for a recent Game of Thrones review we did because we were curious about
a character
there among the Unsullied. It's a long story from Game of Thrones, and you could say we were insensitive about that, and that maybe that's fair. But this is a totally different category. Here's a guy who's doubling down, saying, "Yeah, since in my opinion you did psychological damage to me, I get to execute you." And that is a very dangerous mindset, and I hope that's something we could all agree on really, really easily.
Exactly, yeah. That was the part that I think got the criticism and is justified. But there's another part that I don't think is getting talked about enough. So Janet Mock is an amazing woman. She is, you know, an outspoken leader in the transgender community. And she had just been on The Breakfast Club. And she talked about her latest book, or one of her books, I should say. And you know what they did? At one point during this conversation, one of the hosts picked up her book, and her, you know, picture is on the cover, and basically made a point of, oh, look at Janet Mock, though, isn't she beautiful? And then Duvall jumps in and talks about, you know, calls her a man, and says he's doing his thing, something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing. And it's just unnecessary. I don't know. It's just it just came across as an incredibly
malicious
and gratuitous. Uninformed. Yes, gratuitous is a great word. And I don't know why they had to throw her in there like that. But she had a response. She wrote a really great piece in response to it. And I highly suggest you guys check it out. It's just I just want us to be like. Nice to each other. Like,
can't we at least be decent?
Yeah, let's be decent to each other. Exactly.
And you know, look, the degree to which Duvall there is gratuitously attacking transgender people obviously indicates some sort of insecurity. I don't want to read too much into it, but the guy is certainly has issues with something in his sexual identity where he's very touchy about this subject. It's one thing to go, man, that was terrible. She shouldn't have lied to me like that. And you know, we talk about choice. Well, you didn't give me a choice. That could be a very fair point. It's another thing to be like, no, that's a man, and oh my God, that would be causing me psychological damage, and so I'd murder him. There's something going on there. So
yeah, it's strange.
You should get therapy. And look, transgender people, if the right wing thinks that they're too sensitive on these issues, they had to go through a lot, man. I'm just trying to get everybody to see. Just what other people might feel. Just step me in their shoes for a second. It takes tremendous courage to change your sex. Now these Republicans now are saying things like, "Oh, it's just a choice." They woke up one morning and decided to do gender reassignment surgery.
Because that's a lot of fun, right? Yeah. To put yourself in a situation where you are more likely to be met with violence. With murder, with discrimination, lower job prospects. I mean, think about all the terrible things that the transgender community has to go through because of, you know, their identity. And it's just, they use that same argument when it came to the gay community. And now since, you know, gay people are good for business, they're in favor of the gay community.
But we haven't gotten there on transgender people. And you might be sensitive to it too if you suffered nonstop attacks on your core identity, people didn't believe you, mocked you, and threatened to kill you. Those would be all very, and sometimes followed through on that threat. Mm-hmm. Those would be all very good reasons to be sensitive on this issue. And this one is not remotely close. What Duvall said is atrocious. Okay, all right, let's take a quick break when we come back. Well, we got a political story about how Republicans are looking forward to polluting us. Oh, that sounds fun.
Awesome.
Okay, but it's good for business. All right, back on the Young Turks. Member shout outs today are Gladys McGee and Trevor Price. We will have a great post game for you guys today. Of course, Old School's tomorrow, Aggressive Progressive is Thursday. You get all that with membership plus the commercial free show and all the network shows. TYTnetwork.com/join. Austin David Hall wrote in, as soon as I saw Anna on KTLA this morning, I was like, just want to say how excited I was.
Aw, you're an Angeleno. Thank you. Or at least somewhere near LA.
That's right. She was on local TV this morning. That's why. Septian Patterson says, she took Ann Coulter to school, that's for damn sure. Mm-hmm, so that's nice.
You.
Now, varying opinions on the Little Duvall story. Interesting.
I knew that there would be.
Crayfish Candy writes in, Little Duvall took it a bit far, but that is a form of rape to lie about your gender for sex. So that's a very interesting opinion. Danibal Lecter, on the other hand, says, first, trans women are women. They're not tricking or lying. Secondly, the word tranny is very derogatory. So I mentioned the second part of that, and I thought we made the first part clear. Lady Vanessa V says, so if on a date before he knew he tells me in a conversation that he'd kill me, if he found out, he'd kill me if he found out. Can I kill him in self-defense?
That's interesting.
And now this is getting messy. So this is why this is a terrible idea. And RDGP says, little Duvall doesn't get it. Incitement to violence / threats aren't within the right to free speech. Alt-right bigots ignore that too. That's right. Especially if they were directed at a specific person, that would be actionable and illegal.
Right.
All right. What's next, Anna?
All right. The company that manufactures Apple products is actually planning on building a factory here in the United States, Wisconsin to be specific. Foxconn has agreed to build a factory, which, you know, there's a good component to that. It will create new jobs in the state. However, there is a significant downside to it that isn't being covered much. Thankfully, we have our very own David Sirota reporting on this, and the details of what could potentially happen to the environment and the waterways in Wisconsin should be discussed. So Republican Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin is not only proposing to give the company a $3 billion taxpayer subsidy, his administration has also quietly slipped language into a bill that would exempt the Taiwanese conglomerate from state environmental protection laws. So there are environmental protection laws in the state, and since they want the factory to exist in their state, they want to ensure that it will be exempt from some of the environmental laws, right? So let me give you some of those details. Now, under those laws, the existing laws, companies are prohibited from discharging materials or otherwise polluting wetlands without a specific permit to do so. Under this new bill that Walker has put forward, companies within the new, quote, economics and information technology manufacturing zone will be allowed to discharge material into non-federal wetlands if it relates to the construction or operation of a manufacturing facility. So to be completely clear, again, there's the upside of, you know, new jobs being created in the state, but then there's also the downside of $3 billion in taxpayer money going to subsidize this company, and B, the potential environmental downsides and impact of building this factory.
So let me jump in here.
Yeah.
First of all, Sirota wrote this for IB Times, and we'll have the link in the description box so you can read the whole article. Secondly, he did a video about this on TYT Politics, so check that out. I have the link for that too at youtube.com/TYT Politics. Now, on the substance of the story, look, I'm not torn on the story. I'll tell you why I'm against this idea. But I just want to double down on, I get a governor's motivation to want to bring jobs to his state. And I greatly sympathize with it. But we've seen this happen with football stadiums. They give such giant subsidies that a lot of times the state winds up losing money rather than making money. Now, they'll do it sometimes actually for the jobs, and sometimes they'll use the jobs as a pretense when they just want to get, you know, favors to the corporations, etc. And at the end of the day, did they do the math right to make sure that it even helps Wisconsin? A $3 billion subsidy is no joke. That is a giant amount of money Wisconsin taxpayers are giving away. Okay, if you do that calculation and you do it fairly and honestly, it might turn out positively. Mm-hmm. But think about the second component that Anna told you about, the ability to pollute into the rivers. Why would you need an exemption if you're not planning to pollute the rivers?
Exactly. And Foxconn has not had a good history in China, for instance, with some of the environmental ramifications of their company. So just to give you an idea, apparently because of the way that they polluted in the waterways in China, there were complaints about black and green water with a chemical smell. So of course, yeah, if you're putting hazardous waste and hazardous material in the waterways will be polluted with hazardous waste. It's common sense. Also, the soil was polluted with heavy metals. And remember, this is a company that's making products for technology, technological products, so cell phones and things like that. Apple has contracted with them to create their products. So I want the jobs. I think the jobs are important, but I think it sets a bad precedent when you tell, you know, corporations or companies, we'll just give you a ton of money to create the jobs in our state or in our country,
well,
right?
So it's a race to the bottom, yeah. Because, and this is a problem with our system, and honestly, I don't have a great solution for it. But if you do, write and tell us, right? Because I'm sure that there's good ideas out there. But we have 50 states, and so sometimes foreign corporations come in and go, okay, which state will do me the most favors? Either in the form of subsidies, or by the way, if you're not unionized, so I can pay as low wages as possible. And a lot of the southern states run by Republicans go, don't worry about any union rules. We won't have too many protections for our workers, and you can pay them a much lower wage. And so it winds up becoming a race to the bottom. In this case, Scott Walker says, you can also pollute our rivers. And we're not going to, I mean, if you say to a corporation, you're allowed to do it, but cross your fingers that you don't, they basically say, of course, go ahead and do it. We know you did it before, and you want the exception for a reason. So I'm worried that this winds up being a net negative for the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean,
it's at least a great job by David Sirota to point out all of the ramifications of this deal.
Right, exactly. And then one final thing that I think is worth mentioning. So existing Wisconsin law requires companies to obtain a permit to disturb or transform nearby waterways. The new legislation will allow Walker's administration to waive those permitting requirements if they relate, again, to the construction, access, or operation of a new manufacturing facility in the zone where Foxconn is planning to build its facility. And finally, the bill exempts new energy utilities built inside the Foxconn development zone from facing regulatory oversight, oversight by the state's Public Service Commission. Those provisions also exempt regulation of the building and relocation of high voltage transmission lines. So there's a lot of exemptions here, and these laws were placed for a reason. These laws were passed for a reason, and it's to protect the environment, to protect safety. And unfortunately, I think we're willing to concede a little too much in an effort to create new jobs.
If Foxconn is coming here because they want to take advantage of our skilled workers, fantastic. If they're coming here so that they are even less regulated than they are in China, then I'm not thrilled about that.
Yeah.
I mean, and the point isn't just to overregulate them for the sake of it. The point is to make sure that people in Wisconsin are safe.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Let's move on to some fun news. Members of the Trump administration were pranked by an individual in the UK who used a fake email address and posed as members of the administration. Unfortunately, his attempts to prank them and get a response from them did work. And CNN actually broke this story. I want to give you the first example, and then I'll give you more details. Take a look.
The prankster pretended to be Reince Priebus and wrote to Anthony Scaramucci. He wrote, quote, I had promised myself I would leave my hands mud free, but after reading your tweet today, which stated how soon we will learn who in the media, who has class and who hasn't, has pushed me to this, whatever. It doesn't matter because it was fake. Scaramucci fell for it. Writing, you know what you did. We all do, even today. But rest assured, we were prepared. A man would apologize. And the exchange went on. It turns out the only Trump who did not fall for the trick was Eric Trump, writing back to an email from his brother, Don Jr. I have sent this to law enforcement, who will handle from here.
That's not exactly right. You know, everybody's giving credit to Eric Trump for not falling for it. He did initially. He eventually said he would contact law enforcement. First of all, it's his brother. You don't know which account your brother uses. But anyway, the original fake email said, showed a link to a rifle and said, it's time to hunt the witch hunters. And Eric Trump said, hey, came at a perfect time, this email did, as we have that meeting tonight. Now remember, right, that's in response to hunting the witch hunters, meaning the guys,
people who are trying to investigate what's going on with Russia.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's actually pretty damning. I wonder what that meeting was.
Right.
Right.
I mean, look, I think what this shows more than anything is a certain level of, or a lack of security. And this is just some prankster in the UK. He didn't, you know, he claims that there was no malicious intent. But there are people out there with malicious intent. And if it's this easy to fall for an email prank, well, I'm concerned, because these are, you know, top White House officials. I mean, some of which have been fired already. But another example was Homeland Security Advisor Tom Bossert. Bossert, a cybersecurity expert, was duped, enthusiastically accepting an invitation to a bit of a soiree from a fake Jared Kushner. And giving out his personal email address unprompted. So
He's the cybersecurity expert. And he did, you know, if you give out your email address like that, that could lead to spear phishing, which is how they got the emails from the DNC in the first place.
Yes.
Like, that's the worst thing to do. And he's supposed to be the top expert. But are you surprised by the incompetence of the Trump administration on every front? But the things that were, and this guy says, hey, FBI, I'm not doing it anymore. It was just a joke, and I'm just a lazy anarchist. Get off my ass.
Right.
Okay, whoever the prankster was. And he had no, and it's true, he didn't give this to any foreign government or anything like that. It might still be issues, and the FBI will probably still investigate. But I think that the thing that was the most interesting is the way Scaramucci was threatening who he thought was Reince Priebus. And he said, you know, we know what you did, and you should apologize. So I don't know exactly what he's referring to there. I don't know if it's just the leaks that we know about, but and he says, my Scaramucci later says, my family is fine, by the way, and I will thrive. I know what you did. So does he think Reince Priebus did something to his family?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there were headlines about Scaramucci's wife filing for divorce over the fact that Scaramucci is like in love with Trump. I don't know if that's what he was referring to. Who knows? But
yeah. All right. Fascinating. Knuckleheads falling for another trick. We'll be right back on for the online audience. All right, we're back. So we have one more story for you guys, but I love it, so I wanted to make sure we did it today.
Yes. All right. So. All right. A judge has found the former sheriff of Maricopa County, Arizona, guilty of contempt. We're talking about Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who is no longer the sheriff. Constituents voted against him in this last election, so he's no longer sheriff. Now, here's what happened with this federal judge. Susan Bolton read her ruling and essentially said, not only did defendant Joe Arpaio abdicate responsibility, he announced to the world and to his subordinates that he was going to continue business as usual, no matter who said otherwise. So what is she talking about? Well, a judge had ordered him to stop a discriminatory process that was against the Constitution. Essentially what he was doing was telling law enforcement officials to ask individuals who looked Latino for their papers. And if they were not documented, he would arrest them and send them to ICE authorities. And then they would be deported. And it's against the law. He wasn't supposed to do it.
So let me just jump in for a second. Not only was it unconstitutional to do that, but there was no state law that made it a crime to be undocumented in Arizona. So, and that's incredibly important, because what the judge was saying to the Sheriff Arpaio is stop arresting for people for something they did not commit. Like, if it's in the books and you want to be tough on them, hey, have at it, Hoss. That's your decision. I'm not going to get involved in how you're a sheriff. But if you're arresting for people for things that are not a crime, well, that's an enormous problem if you're the sheriff. Can he then arrest you because he doesn't like you for other things that aren't a crime?
Exactly.
And this is not that unprecedented, and it happened during the Civil Rights Movement. So Civil Rights Act is passed, the Voting Rights Act is passed, African Americans have a right to vote same way that white people do, and there's no more poll tax, etc. And then some of the local law enforcement down there, we'd go, no, I'm just not going to listen to the law. So Martin Luther King made a great point about that. He said, we go do civil disobedience in the South, but the reality is we're actually exercising our rights, we're within the law. When they arrest us, it's an illegal arrest. They're the ones committing a crime.
Right.
And so in this case, this is very similar. He's targeting Latinos, and he says, I don't care what the law is. He's not the law and order sheriff. He's the exact opposite of law and order.
Right. And so, look, they were detaining people without any reasonable suspicion. And that's a big issue, because there's the profiling component of what he was doing, which is target anyone who looks like they might be Latino and try to figure out whether or not they're here legally or illegally. And then they were targeted without reasonable suspicion of committing a crime. And so that's a problem, and that's the reason why the judge said, you gotta stop this, this is not the right policy. And this is not a constitutional policy. It's unlawful, okay? And not only did he ignore the judge's orders, he proceeded to be boastful about how he was continuing to ignore the judge's orders. And as a result, this federal judge on Monday found him in contempt. And so we'll see what the consequences will be for that. But you know, he's a sheriff for a very long time. He you know, harassed and discriminated against a lot of people. He's 85 years old now. I don't know what kind of consequence he's going to face. But
well, I know what he should face. Lock him up. Lock him up. Look, no, it's really very important to our democratic form of government that no one is above the law, including people who apply the law. And if they say to a judge and brag, oh yeah, I'm going to violate the law and I'm the sheriff and there's nothing you can do about it, well, that destroys our three branches of government. That's the executive branch saying, I have a gun and you don't. So that is a very dangerous concept. Now, he's facing 6 months in jail for this. He's going to, of course, appeal, and they're going to try to run out the clock on this. But what he did was very obvious because he openly bragged about it in front of everybody and thought he was going to get away with it. And come to find out, no, the law also applies to you. You're not going to get away with it. I think he should, you know, if go through the regular process, definitely no question about it. Follow the law to the letter of the T. I'm sorry, cross your T's, dot your I's, and follow the law completely. And if at the end of the process he is found to be guilty again, absolutely go to jail. And don't pull any excuse about how old he is. He didn't care about anybody. He put people in tent cities. He made them wear outfits like this and pink underwear and degraded and humiliated other prisoners. I don't think we should do likewise to him. But at a minimum, if he broke the law like everyone else, he should go to jail. Lock him up. And now he is definitively guilty. That is what they just ruled. Okay, guys, now we're out of time. And so in the postgame, though, I do want to tell you about a story we didn't get to on the show. It's a story about how, not related to the election, back in 2015, BuzzFeed has an interesting story about how the guy who started RT, Russia Today, was likely killed by the Russians in America. And there's a weird reason why the Americans might want to cover it up.
Okay. What?
So it's a fascinating story. We ran out of time, but I do want to tell you in the postgame. So tytnetwork.com/join. Okay? Bye-bye.